Well, I'd like for you to take your Bible tonight and turn to Matthew chapter number 14, please. Matthew chapter number 14. The title of tonight's sermon is this: You Don't Have to Sink. You Don't Have to Sink. Matthew chapter 14. Find verse number 22. Matthew chapter 14. Find verse number 22. And if you'll stand with me, please. Matthew 14. Verse number 22, and I'm going to read all the way through verse number 32, and you can follow along in your King James Bible. All right, Matthew 14, 22. The Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto the water, unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Lord, a somewhat familiar passage of Scripture. Help us, though, not to think so common that we can't learn anything tonight, because, God, there is something you have for us. In eternity past, you could look out and see who would be here tonight. You knew what I would speak on. And Father, you knew what we would need. So I pray, Father, tonight that we might have a spiritual appointment, and that somehow, God, that divine appointment would yield a success in our Christian lives as a result of being in church tonight and letting the Bible become our guide and be our blueprint for life. Now bless us tonight with thy Holy Spirit's presence, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat if you will. The story is Jesus had left the crowd and went to the mountain to pray. The disciples had been asked by Jesus to get on a ship and to go to the other side of that sea. In the middle of the sea, a big storm hits, and it was a bad storm. According to verse number 24, the ship was being tossed. I don't know how big the ship was. I have no idea. But it's very obvious that that ship was being tossed around. And until you've been out in the sea on a ship that's being tossed, you don't quite understand. You might say, oh, what's the big deal? Well, someday you get out and there's 12, 16, 18-foot swells, and you're out in the middle of the sea where there are sharks. I don't like sharks. They like me, but I don't like sharks. But that ship was being tossed, and the Bible says the wind was contrary. Now, what is it when it says contrary there? It's telling us that wind was not helping them, it was hurting them. And just like the ship was being tossed in this bad sea, the wind was terrible. It was an unpredictable wind. Well, the disciples are out on the ship, and while they're facing this storm, Jesus comes walking on the water. The disciples cried out for fear. Jesus tells them, don't be afraid, it's me. Peter asked Jesus, said, look, Jesus, if it's you, then let me walk to you. And Jesus said, okay, come on. Peter steps out of the ship, and the Bible teaches that he walked to Jesus. I don't know how many steps, but he took some steps on that water, and he walked out to where Jesus was. Or actually, Jesus meets Peter. When Peter saw the wind, the Bible says that he became afraid, and he began to sink. And he cried out, the Bible says, Lord, save me. It said, I'm sinking. And Jesus stretched out his hand, and he caught Peter. They both stepped back into the ship. The storm stopped. The ship didn't sink. All the people that were on the ship didn't sink. Nobody sank. And they were all safe. Have you ever felt like you were sinking? You can go to work. Working out there in the world, there are times when you feel like, I feel like I'm going to sink. I'm going to go under. With your ministry, sometimes you can feel like you're going to sink. So many problems to solve and little details to watch out for. And hey, whatever ministry it is, if it's for the Lord, then you have an opposition the devil is going to oppose. And you feel like with your ministry, help me, I'm sinking. Sometimes in our relationships in life, I wonder how many times parents feel like I feel like the storm of life is overwhelming while I'm trying to rear my children. In that primary relationship called marriage, boy, there are just times. You know, God loves the marital relationship, which means the devil hates the marital relationship. And there are just some times where the responsibilities of it and the challenges of it, they become overwhelming. Excuse me. And you feel like I'm sinking. I'm sinking at work. I feel like I'm sinking in my ministry. My relationship with my kids. I feel like I'm sinking. I'm sinking with my marriage. The responsibilities of life, oh, they can become very complicated. You know, when you're young, you get an envelope or two in the mail, and you got a bill or two that you pay once a month. And boy, it doesn't stay that way for long. Before long, you're getting envelopes in the mail every day, and there's bills to pay every day. And life gets complicated and difficult, and there's so many things to watch out for and so many responsibilities. And sometimes just the responsibilities of life, they become overwhelming. They become overwhelming, and you think, I'm going to sink. We fear for the future, and we feel like we're going to sink. Well, let me tell you something. You don't have to sink. You don't have to sink. This story is proof that you do not have to sink. If you've ever felt that the waves of life would overtake you, this story is a story that God gave us to help us to understand we don't have to be overtaken by those waves. We don't have to sink. We don't have to go under the water. We don't have to be taken over by that challenge in life. There's just sometimes we feel like, though, the storms of life could cause us to sink. I'm going to make some very, very simple, of course, you've heard me preach long enough. I didn't never say anything complicated. It's always, you know, there's some preachers out there, there's champagne and caviar. I'm hot dogs and root beer, buddy. You're not going to get anything real spectacular out of me. But I promise you, if you listen to me, I'll help you tonight. The idea is we don't have to sink. We don't have to sink. Let me tell you, first of all, if you're feeling like you're going to sink, here's what I'd recommend. Stay in the ship. Stay in the ship. Matthew 14:33, it said, then they that were in the ship. All the disciples, you understand, they're out there on that ship and they're out there in that storm. They stayed in the ship. You say, why? It's safer in the ship. Only one stepped out. That was Peter. And you're saying, yeah, Peter, I'm thinking knucklehead Peter. What was he thinking? Jesus already said, don't worry, it is I. Let me tell you, if I was on the ship and I was in a storm and I've been out in the storms on a ship before and Jesus was out there on the water and he said, don't worry, Jeff, it's me. I'd say, I believe you. I believe you. Come on. There's room in the boat for you. But Peter, you know, he's always doing crazy stuff. Jesus is going around being nice to people. Peter's taking out a sword, whacking off people's ears. Why does he whack off someone's ear? What's Peter thinking? But listen, you say, I feel like I'm going to sink. I'd recommend you stay in the ship. And I realized what was taking place. It's a part of the Word of God. But I think those other disciples, I thought they were pretty smart. But most of the time, we give all the attention to Peter who stepped out of the boat. I really think the guys that stayed in the ship were thinking right. Listen, you say, what do you mean stay in the ship? Stay in God's will. If you feel overwhelmed by life, don't get out of God's will. I mean, if life's being rough on you and you're in God's will, and then you let the storm knock you out of God's will, you think it's tough now. When you and I are in God's will and we go through a storm, we're going to fare far better. But you get out of God's will and go through a storm, you're really jeopardizing your safety. Stay in the ship. Stay in God's will. Stay in church. I want you all to see something. When issues come in life, the devil would like to get you out of church. And he'll put blinders on you and everything. You won't even know what's going on. But if he can get you out of church, the church is like your lifeguard. It'll save you if you're drowning. And you've got to stay in church. Stay in God's will. That's what I mean by stay in the ship. Stay in the church. Stay in your marriage. Stay in that ministry. Stay after your soul winning. Stay after the men's prayer breakfast. It's a good thing. We do it once a month, men, but it's good for you. Stay at it. Stay faithful. Folks, quitters are a dime a dozen. But let me explain. When you're feeling like you're overwhelmed, if you start quitting the things that make you strong, you're just going to get weaker. You're going to get weaker. You're not solving the problem. Do you know that had they dove out of the ship, they would have surely drowned? I'm glad there were people that stayed in the ship. Stepping out of the ship would have made it worse, not better. Don't let Satan lure you out of the safety of God's will. Don't let Satan lure you out of that ship of the protection and the watch care of God. Hey, and don't even let him intimidate you out of the ship. You've got to make sure you stay in the ship if you feel like you're going to sink. Number two, I like this. Don't panic and start throwing people overboard. Don't panic. The guys on the ship, there was a chance that somebody could sink. And the truth is, just so you know, do you know who it was that said they thought they were going to sink? It's only Peter, because he jumped out of the ship. I'm glad Jesus was there to figure it all out, and Peter's a thrill seeker, you know. But the guys that stayed on the boat, they weren't, I don't see in the scripture where it said that all the guys on the ship were saying, I think we're going to sink. Now, they might have been thinking that, but they stayed in the ship. And I'm glad they didn't start throwing people overboard. They didn't start blaming each other. You say, well, why do you say that? You ever heard the story of Jonah? Yeah. Let me read to you from Jonah 1:15. It says, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. In that situation, they were in a storm, and they said, we don't know what the problem is. Let's see if it's you. I'm glad they found the problem the first time. I mean, if they did it alphabetical, and your name is Adams, I was going to say Nicole Blue, boy, you're in trouble. If your last name's Zucchini, okay, we would have gotten to you eventually. But... and the day when Jonah was on that ship and they said, let's throw somebody overboard. Yeah, and you say, were they panicked? If you know the story, they were throwing everything overboard in that thing. So grab that, throw it overboard, throw that overboard, throw that overboard. We don't know this Jonah creep, throw him overboard. Well, let me tell you something. If you feel like you're sinking, don't panic and start throwing others overboard. Hey, men, if life gets tough, don't throw your wife overboard. That's pretty good shark bait, though. Hey, don't throw your husband overboard. Hey, young people, you listen to me. Don't throw mom overboard. Don't throw dad overboard. You know, life gets tough, and maybe you get yourself, young people, into some self-inflicted mess or hardship comes. Let me tell you, hey, stay close to mom. Stay close to dad. Those are the people that love you. So when the hardship comes or we feel overwhelmed and whatever it is, hey, don't, and I would recommend, not because I'm your pastor, but I wouldn't throw your pastor overboard. Boy, when you feel overwhelmed, your pastor's there to help you. He's there to encourage you. It's so sad to me. People will go through struggles and then they distance themselves from the pastor. Boy, that's just like the lifeguard saying, I'll come help you, and you swim away from the lifeguard. No, you don't want to do that. Hey, don't toss a Christian brother overboard. I would recommend if you feel like you could sink, don't panic and start throwing people overboard. Don't throw those good people out of your life. You need them. And God put them in your life for a reason. So, stay in the ship.
Don't panic and start throwing people overboard. Thirdly, let me say this. Get to Jesus. Get to Jesus. In Matthew 14:28, it says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Now remember, Peter is the one that began to sink. We don't see any indication that the others were sinking. They were safe, but Peter began to sink. So I'm glad that Jesus was available. And if you feel like you're sinking, I would just get to Jesus. Folks, listen, you hear this all the time in this church, but I can't give you any better advice. Get in your Bible. Read your Bible. Look, when you feel like you might sink, you ought to be reading your Bible more, not less. You say, "I'm just so frustrated. I can't read my Bible." Nobody is so frustrated they can't read their Bible. Some are so frustrated they won't. But it's not can't. Look, if you think you're going to sink, get to Jesus. Hey, read your Bible. Hey, don't just read it. Live what you read. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a book of entertainment. It's a book of life. I like all the facts about the Bible, and I like the history in the Bible. But let me tell you something. The Bible is a book to be lived, not just a book to be admired. The Bible is a book that is there to change and guide our lives. It's not just a history book so we can find out something about Israel. I enjoyed the sermon that I preached this morning. Had a lot of facts and a lot of research to it, and we need that. But I'll tell you this, that's not going to do you any good at all what I preached this morning unless you're going to live it. You just heard a bunch of things, but you're to hear it with your heart and let it affect your life. Get to Jesus, get in your Bible, and then live what you read. Hey, get on your knees. Every once in a while, it'd be good if someone could ask you this question and you had to answer it. How much do you really pray? It's my experience in life that there are people that would like to give the impression that they pray. I've met very few people in life that have impressed me that they're truly prayers. I meet people that dabble in prayer. I meet people that will pray a little while, but it's not a consistent thing. Listen, if you think, you notice how quiet and somber it gets when you talk about that? That's one of the reasons why every once in a while it's good for somebody to say to you, "How much do you really pray? How much do you really pray?" Listen, if you think you're going to sink, get to Jesus. Get to the Bible. Get to Him in prayer. Look, folks, the less you pray, the more apt you are to sink. You know what prayer is? It's talking to God. It's asking God for something. You know what Peter did? Peter prayed. He said, "Lord, save me. I'm not asking much. Just don't let me sink." He knew what to do. Folks, let me give you something about prayer that you need to hear. The less you pray, the greater your pride. Everybody might think you're a really humble person, but the truth is, if you don't pray, somehow you think you can do it without God. To me, prayer is proof of a dependency on God. So you remember, if you're not praying, you may give the world that you're the impression you're a humble person. You're really not. You're trying to do it without God. I would call that pride. Look, if you think you're going to sink, get to Jesus. Get to Him in your Bible reading. Get to Him in on your knees. Get to Him in the confession of your sin. You know, again, it's a rare thing that you hear about people that confess. When's the last time you went to God and said, "God, I'm wrong. I sinned. Forgive me"? It ought to be frequent. It's pretty rare because we all think we're in pretty good shape. Folks, we are a sorry mess. Hey, look, come to God's house. You can face the storm better if you're in, you know what they call it? God's house. If you want to get to Jesus so you don't sink, get to His house. And so, if you feel like you're sinking, stay in the ship. If you feel like you're sinking, don't panic like they did in the day of Noah and start throwing people that are part of your life overboard. Get to Jesus. And then, could I recommend this? Don't look at the wind. Don't look at the wind. In Matthew 14:30, in this story it says, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Peter looked at the wind, and it tampered with his faith." When Peter has his eyes on Jesus, and Jesus said, "It's me, don't be afraid," Peter said, "Prove it, let me walk out to you." Peter steps out of the boat, starts taking steps. While he had his eyes on Jesus, he was fine. He was not sinking. But he began to look at the wind, and that affected him. And it tampered with his faith. It was only after he began to look at the wind that he began to sink. Maybe wind is pressure. Don't fear the pressures. You know, you all do realize what we call pressure. What is that? Now, I understand pressure in a vacuum hose and all that, but pressure in life. What is it? Can you touch it? Can you feel it? Who puts it on you? You? Oh, you're pressuring you? Well, stop doing that. Maybe that's not such a good idea. I mean, really, what is pressure? Can you taste it? Can you order a pound of it? I'd say something's going on in your brain. And Peter looked at the wind. I really want to help you. Let me tell you, if you go through a storm, I wouldn't spend all your time staring at the storm. We were out on our prolonged cruise and Hurricane Irma. You know something? When all the clouds and all that were going on, I really didn't want to sit on the balcony and look at the storm. You know what I want to do? I want to go all the way in the middle of the ship where I couldn't see it. Why? If you stare at your storm, you make it worse. I really do believe that sometimes people go through a storm and that's all they think about, that's all they talk about, that's all that they look at, and no wonder you're a basket case and you're about to freak out and crack up. That's all you think about. Every move you make, it's got to be attached to the storm. Well, not everything in your life is attached to the storm. And if you're not careful, you're going to play with your own mind. You produce your pressure. And that'll mess with your mind. So what do? Stay busy. Help somebody. Hey, I've told people this for years, and I think they think it's just something I say just to get it off my counseling plate. But when you're going through a hard time, go to work. Stay busy. Say why? Busyness will keep your mind off the storm. It really will. When we were on a ship during a hurricane, I can promise you, the people that had too much time on their hands that were staring at the storm were scared of the storm. There were people on the ship that were as busy as they could be serving other people, and they weren't all panicked about the storm. Why? They were busy. Their mind was busy. Their body was busy. Their life was busy. Go to work. Stay in your schedule. Don't stay home from church to lick your wounds. Come to church. Come to church. Make yourself. Look, if all you do is think about how bad it is, you can think it into being worse. So, don't look at the wind. That's what happened to Peter. So, I said this. Peter said, "I'm sinking." I would recommend you stay in the ship. I'd recommend you don't panic and start throwing important people overboard. You get to Jesus. Don't look at the wind. And let me throw this in here. Don't be afraid to cry. Don't be afraid to cry. Nothing wrong with tears. Nothing wrong with crying out to God. In Matthew 14:30, it says, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried." And it says, he cried, comma, saying, comma, "Lord, comma, save me." I don't think it is just that he cried out. I think he cried and said, "Lord, save me." Tears are okay. There's nothing wrong with tears. We can't cry all the time. If you're crying all the time, you need help. You got to get that under control. It's like you can't laugh all the time. You don't go to funerals and laugh all the way through the funeral. Somebody's going to think you're on the sauce. You say, what do you mean by sauce? I'm talking about Jack Daniels or Bud Dummer or something like that. God understands our tears. Jesus wept. Tears are not a picture of weakness. Tears help to wash out our eyes physically, and tears may clean up your spiritual eyesight just a little. Grieving people, it's okay to cry. It's healthy to cry. But Peter cried. If you feel like you're going to sink, it's nothing. Hey, there's nothing wrong with having a good cry. I had that little bout with my heart a week ago. And Mrs. Owens was trying to be strong, and she wasn't sure what was going on and everything. When it was all said and done, Sunday night, we were on our way home from church, and she looked over at me and she said, I need to go home and have a good cry. I need to go home and have a good cry. Need to release some of that pressure. Nothing wrong with some tears. Nothing wrong with that at all. But you can't cry all the time. I do not picture Peter beginning to sink, and he cried, and I think he was probably weeping. I look, if I were out in the middle of the ocean, take two steps, I'm about to sink, I'd have some sort of emotion. I'm going to guarantee it. So he began to weep, but I really don't think, I don't picture this, I don't picture Jesus reaching out to Peter, putting him on the boat, and then Peter's sitting over in the corner going, oh, 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 oh. Everybody else say, okay. Okay, you're all right. Calm down. He cried when it was appropriate to cry, but he didn't cry for the rest of the ride. There's nothing wrong with tears. And then let me tell you this. Jesus is coming to save your ship if you'll just let him. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. In Matthew 14:33, it says, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Notice only one, Peter, had the faith to step out onto the sea. The others, that they could have, but they didn't. Thank God they did not run. They did. You know, they could have jumped overboard. It wouldn't have done any good. It would have made it worse. They stuck it out, even though they had maybe, I don't know what was going on, Peter stepping out. Again, I happen to believe that once Jesus said, don't worry, it's me, Peter could have stayed in the boat and it all would have been fine. But listen, Jesus, he took care of everybody on the boat. Jesus didn't sink. Peter didn't sink. And nobody on the boat sank. None. You say, well, preacher, I have weak faith. Okay, well, just so you know, we give Peter credit for having the faith to step out. Now, the other people that were on the boat, they had some weak faith. They didn't sink either. So Jesus salvaged the weak of faith right along with the strong of faith. They just stayed in the ship and kept doing what they needed to do. When Peter began to sink, Jesus said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, if we're giving Peter credit for having faith to step out of the boat, and Jesus said, Peter, you have little faith, I wonder what Jesus thought of the ones that stayed in the ship. Little bitty faith? Well, I'm glad they at least didn't run. They made it through the storm. They lasted. Hey, not everybody can walk on the water, but everybody can keep their head above water. Listen, I'm so glad that the people on that boat did the right thing and they stayed in the ship. Can I tell you something? There are a lot of people in life, I call them runners. It gets tough and they run. They panic and they run. They run from their responsibilities. They run from their relationships. They run from God. They run from church. They run from the man of God. And I'll tell you, if you're not careful, you're going to run out in front of something that's going to hit you. Because that panic will mess you up. So, Jesus is coming to save your ship. You just got to let him. If you have strong faith, he can salvage you, even if you feel like you have weak faith. So if we're giving Peter credit for having strong faith, he didn't sink. And if we would say the people on the ship had weak faith, you know what? He still took care of them. At least they stayed in the ship. At least they were there to be salvaged. And so, be careful. You might run from the one that can keep you from sinking. So stay in the ship. Finally,
I want to tell you one last thing, and I want you to remember this because I think it's very important to the story. The Bible says in Matthew 14:33, "Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Now, Jesus had just seen them through a potential sinking. I'm very glad that he kept them from sinking. I'm also very glad that they worshipped him after he salvaged them. There are so many times in life, folks, where we feel like we're going to sink. Financially, you say, I'm not going to make it. Health-wise, I'm not going to make it. Relationship-wise, I'm not going to make it. But you know what? You cried out to God and you made it. You made it. How many times have you made it over and over again? What these people did is after they asked God to give them something and he did, they worshiped him. They worshiped him. I've been a firm believer for years and years and years. You ask God to give you a miracle and you take the time to beg God for a miracle and he gives it to you. You better take the same time and go back and worship the God that gave you that miracle. First of all, he deserved all the glory and all the credit and all the honor for what he did. But secondly, let me warn you, you might need another miracle someday. You may need God to pull you out of the fire again someday. I would guess that God might remember that the last time he salvaged you, you took everything that he would give you and you ran off to go do your own thing again. And you didn't worship him and you didn't give him honor and you didn't give him credit and you didn't uplift him for what he did for you. Well, maybe the next time when you're saying, Lord, I'm sinking, he might say, I remember, you don't appreciate a thing that I do for you. Look, there are people in here, God really has salvaged your life. Where you would be if it were not for salvation, and where you would be if it were not for the church, and where you would be if it were not for the mercy and the loving kindness of Almighty God. Let me tell you something. He deserved to be worshipped and he deserves to be served for the rest of your life. When you feel like you're going to sink and you cry out and he reaches that hand out and he said, I'm not going to let you go under. The minute we get someplace where it can be done, you better make sure you turn and say, thank you, sir. I will serve you. I'll be faithful and I'll be loyal and I'll love you and I'll serve you to the day I die. He spared you. And to be very honest, you owe it to him to serve him. You don't have to sink. And so what do? Well, stay in the ship. Don't panic and start throwing others overboard. Get to Jesus. Don't concentrate on the wind. Don't be afraid to weep. Know that Jesus will salvage that ship if you let him. And then when you get through it, take time and worship him and thank him and praise him and uplift him for getting you through the battle. You don't have to sink. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you going through a tough time? Maybe it's a self-inflicted tough time. Maybe it's something that came upon you. You didn't see it coming. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a storm. I don't know if it's because of sin. I don't know what. I don't know if it's something that's just come upon you in life. But if you say, I feel like I could sink, I've given you some of the simplest, most practical instructions you could hear. And you don't have to sink. If you're here tonight and you've never been born again, we welcome you to the Savior. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a born-again Christian tonight and you say, Preacher, I am facing some storms. I feel a little overwhelmed. I feel like I could sink. I feel like Peter did. Okay, you don't have to sink. Who here tonight would say, the Lord has spoken to my heart. I got something I needed tonight. It's going to help me. And God spoke into my heart. Would you raise your hand and let God see your hand? You may put that hand down. If you need the altar, we welcome you to it. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. You say, I'm facing a storm. Well, stay in the ship. Stay close to Jesus. You don't have to sink. You don't have to sink at work. You don't have to sink in your ministry. You don't have to sink in your marriage. You don't have to sink with your responsibility. You don't have to sink with that business. You don't have to sink with your future.
You don't have to sink. Just stay in the ship and don't start hurting other people. Get to Jesus. Don't stare at the heartache or burden. You can weep and let Him see the tenderness and humility of your heart. He'll get in your ship and salvage you. And once He does, don't you forget to worship Him and thank Him and honor and praise Him. And if right now you say, well, everything's pretty smooth for me, well, I would take to heart what was said tonight, because it could be smooth on Sunday and the storm could hit on Monday. The overwhelm feeling may come on Tuesday. You say, well, I've been through my battles and mine are over. Oh, my. As long as you're alive, there's the potential of the overwhelmingness of life and the hardships of life and the challenges of life. As long as we're alive, He can keep us from sinking. Thank you, Rachel. Look at me for just a second. I've been on a couple big ships out during the storms. A handful of years, 5 or 6 years ago, my wife and I were out on the ocean on a ship, and the swells were 18-foot swells. I remember in the night being tossed from my bed, literally, I mean tossed from my bed in the night. I have to tell you something. If you, by faith, will go through this storm, when you face another in the future, there'll be a confidence and a faith in storm two that you gained from storm one. Again, as you all know, back in September, we were out on the ocean during Hurricane Irma and Jose and two or three others. And I have to tell you, I'd be sitting with people eating and they were a little fearful. And I would say, it'll be okay. Now, the first time I went through it, I didn't think it was going to be okay. I'm like, oh, I don't want to be out here. You know, I do not want to be shark bait. But when I went through my second storm, oh, there was still fear. There was still some of that feeling of insecurity. But I'll tell you this, I knew better how to react. I knew better how to take it. Look, you've got to get through this one because it may strengthen you for the next one. And if you give up your training on this one, the next one will be even harder. You say, well, I don't want any of the training. There's no way out. There's no way out. There's no release from this war.